place to go. Have no place to go. Darling, have no place to go. Have no place to go.
510, hi, hello. Pardon me. Ooh, my instrument is a little messy this morning. Everybody in my house is sick. Everybody that's come through the house is sick. Everybody that's at the house is sick. People that have left the house is sick. Everybody's sick. So, therefore, by extension, 1 + 1 equals a cold.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm right on the edge of a cold.
Oof. Plus, you were in airplanes this weekend.
I was in an airplane. I was in several airplanes. It was in cold weather.
Didn't wear your gloves.
I was in an ice storm. So, coldies seems to work for me. But here's what coldies does.
Okay.
These are zinc lozenges.
Yeah, you got to take the zinc.
And if you take them when you first start feeling like you're having a cold, they're great. But they hold the cold off. It's like you know the bad guy is right behind the door in the closet.
They do work.
Right there. They do work.
Yeah. Knocking at the door.
Shorten the symptoms or relieve the symptoms to some extent. Shorten the duration. So if I get through, like today, because I'm off the next couple of days, because, you know, I'm only working 3 days a week. if I can get through today, then I should be home free.
So whatever you do, don't go around licking all the doorknobs.
Ooh. That would be a bad thing.
Do you want some tea? I have a lot of tea.
No, I don't. I'm just pounding the water.
Hot tea is good for
you. Pounding the fluid. You know what I had for breakfast? Apple juice.
Oh,
huh?
Mm.
That's not good.
You need to put some vodka in that.
What do you mean? Why is apple juice bad?
I don't know. How about some hot cider with the apple juice?
Usually you come in with a Diet Coke, don't you?
I mean, where am I going to find hot cider at this hour, Steve?
I don't know.
Steve, ask Mary that. Ask Mary where I'm going to find hot cider.
Steve, somebody will bring you some.
Where he's going to find hot cider at 3 o'clock.
Sweet listener will hear it and bring you some.
512, Andy's in for Dave. Is that an upset, Northwestern beating Boston College, or is Boston College pretty bad?
No, they're not bad. I mean, it's always an upset when you win on the road, especially.
Well, the reason I bring it up is because it's not like I just said Northwestern's bad. They're not bad. They're young.
No, yeah, they're young. They're finding themselves 4-3 now. Miller Kopp, the sophomore that Chris Collins has a lot of high hopes for, really came through yesterday with 20 points. So it was a nice victory for the young men from Northwestern.
And there's all sorts of tournaments going on at the beginning of the year and the end of the year. This one, I don't understand.
Yeah, this is kind of a made-for-TV event. They've had the Big Ten Big East Challenge. This is the Big Ten ACC Challenge, where each of the Big Ten teams will play an ACC team. And I think the winner...
And it's total wins or something?
Yeah, I think the winner gets a toaster.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Yeah. Although NCAA rules prohibit them from actually putting bread in the toaster.
Yeah, but if it's delivered by Prime, it's okay?
Yes.
Okay. At 5:13, we'll do the forecast here. We'll update you on the numbers. I know you just told people the numbers, but you're going to have to tell people the numbers again.
I'll tell them again.
Because they're getting up every couple of minutes.
Right. We want to keep people updated.
All right, what's
the weather?
And
they're hitting snooze.
Here's what's coming up. Big O before 6. Also, Karen Conti before 7. Karen Conti, a legal expert, a lawyer. But a lawyer you can love.
Yeah.
She'll be on. You got any law problems?
None that I know of. Maybe she knows of some of that I do have.
Top 6 at 6, coming up, oddly enough, at 6. Pat Brady and Bridget Gaynor will be in to talk some politics. We're expecting a call this morning from President Trump. So, those usually he's calling from London.
Oh, okay.
So, it's easy for him, because, you know, it's 6 hours, right. So, I mean, it's already 11:15.
Yeah, he should be good.
Dean is in L.A. He'll be on with us, as will Troy Murray, who's not in L.A.
He is not. He's probably on his way to Boston.
And then we have another holiday choir to sing before 9 o'clock. We're off at 9 now. Show's on 5 to 9.
5 to 9.
5 to 9. 5's earlier than 6.
By about an hour, right?
Does the president know that?
I don't know. I don't know what anybody knows. Let's see. A couple of texters. Steve, airborne is the key to recovery. I've seen airborne, but what is it?
It's like the little tablet that dissolves in water. It's like a vitamin C burst, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's like a, Pepto-Bismol.
Alka-Seltzer.
Alka-Seltzer.
Yeah.
But yeah, before you go on a plane, you're supposed to take it to avoid all the germs.
815, what did Steve say he took to relieve cold symptoms? In my case, coldies. There's lots of different zinc lozenges if you find one that works. Pound them.
I just take the zinc tablets, regular zinc.
Don't you have an excess of zinc in your system then?
No.
Like, do you show up on a periodic table?
No.
She likes her zinc straight.
I start from the bottom.
Right.
No.
It's a square now that says MV.
I only take them when I feel cold coming on.
Okay.
So they work.
I'd bring the cold on.
I'm not coming near you today.
No, every year I say, well, it's been a long time since I had a cold. 10 minutes later, I have a cold.
Yeah, you were sick already this year.
Well, yeah, back in January, maybe.
No. A couple months ago, weren't you sick?
Yeah, and did you have a summer cold?
Yeah.
No.
Yes, you did. You had one that lasted like 3 months.
No, that was a man cow. Different station.
Oh, that was my afternoon shift.
That's exactly right. Another person says elderberry syrup. And 708, tea and blackberry brandy.
Ooh.
Where am I going to get tea and blackberry brandy at this hour?
I got the tea. Anybody got some brandy?
519. Yesterday was Giving Tuesday, and one of my favorite people came by the show, Colleen McGrath. And Colleen is with something called Camp One Step. I want to play back a chunk of that for you here.
Camp One Step is a camp for children and families facing cancer. We're based out of Chicago, but we serve kids in the Midwest. We have 11 programs throughout the year that are free of charge. So we do everything from a two-week summer camp on Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, to family camps and sibling camps and adventure programs, skiing and snowboarding and whitewater rafting. And
the idea being you give kids an opportunity to just be kids.
Just be a kid, to get out of the hospital and have the opportunity to remember what it's like to be a child.
How do kids get involved with Camp One Step? Because if they can't afford to go, we scholarship them in, right?
Yeah, that's the great thing. We have 11 programs throughout the year, and they are all free of charge to our campers and their families. So they can join us for one of our 11 programs throughout the year at no cost.
And are the hospitals referring kids to you guys, or do they hear in other ways?
Definitely. A lot of our medical team works in different hospitals across the Midwest, and they're huge advocates for us. You know, on more than one occasion, I hear our doctors and our nurses say that, you know, we have a medication that they don't provide in the hospital, and that, you know, we can treat their spirit. And if we can treat their spirit, they want to fight the disease.
Fill people in. I know some people have heard it before, but tell people your story.
Sure, of course. When I was 14 years old, I was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, stage 4. My only experience with cancer at that point was my mom died 8 months prior of colon cancer. And so
And you were a healthy kid.
I was a healthy kid up till you know, our first experience with cancer as within our, you know, family unit was my mom. You know, we'd had distant relatives and different things, but that was our really first experience. Perfectly healthy kid, active kid, and you know, all of a sudden, I lost my mom, and it was really hard because people didn't know if I was sad or what was going on.
Sure.
And my dad and I just had this gut feeling. It was bigger, and then the labs and different things were coming back to say it was bigger. And eventually, I ended up with a stage 4 pancreatic cancer diagnosis. And
there's no reason for you to be here because stage 4 pancreatic cancer is about as bad as it can get.
Yeah.
So you're a walking, talking miracle.
I appreciate that.
And a reason for people to be hopeful and optimistic about life, because you've got a lot of reasons where you could have been in a funk forever.
Definitely. That's the magic of camp, though.
Well, it really is. So as I remember the story, your dad heard about this and he wanted to take you to camp. What was your reaction at 14?
At that time, my doctor and nurse on the oncology floor were helping run our volunteer medical program at summer camp. And I had asked to quit treatment and let myself pass away. And
at 14?
At 14. It was bad. I spent 6 months in a hospital.
I can't imagine how awful it must have been for you, but I also think about your dad after losing your mom and then seeing his little girl going through this.
Oh, yeah. I can't even think about it. But he really believed it was my choice, but he was a smart man and knew he was going to try everything he could. And that led to my nurse and doctor agreed to sign off on letting me quit treatment as long as I tried a camp on Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, for kids like me with cancer. And I thought they were crazy. I probably thought that was the most insane thing I'd heard in 6 months of chemo and surgeries and everything. I just pictured a bunch of sick kids, and I didn't understand how that could help.
Whatever time I have left, I don't want it to be that.
No, because it seemed to me like it was going to be, you know, a hospital floor with arts and crafts or something like that. My dad agreed, and so by default, I agreed because I usually got my way with my dad at that point in life.
I'm guessing,
so, yeah, we'd gone through a lot, so I usually ended up getting my way with my dad. And so I was like, I can get out of this for sure. Month after month went by, he filled out all the paperwork, all the medical paperwork we're sent in, because we have an incredible medical team that can take care of me and our kids just like they could take care of anyone in a hospital.
Sure.
And all of a sudden, it was the day before, and I refused to pack, and he was packing for me, and the next morning, we were in the car.
And you're an emotional mess.
I'm an emotional mess.
And you're mad.
I'm mad. I locked myself in a McDonald's bathroom on the way up there. I didn't want to go so badly, which, again, a dad with a 14-year-old daughter, I don't really think he knew how to handle that situation either.
Well, that was not great.
But we went, and he dropped me off, and I was mad. I was scared. And then within a few hours...
Your life changed.
My life changed. I felt hope and happiness, and I saw kids just like me. I saw kids who were cancer survivors, which I couldn't even see that far ahead.
Of course not.
I could only see how miserable I was in the moment. So for the very first time, it was an opportunity to really think about my future, and I hadn't thought about that.
Your dad wasn't out of the woods yet because you were mad at him going home, too.
I was.
Because you didn't want to leave.
I didn't want to leave. We had a 2-week summer camp.
Look at you, you difficult daughter.
I know. He picked me up mad because I was only sent for 1 week.
It's Colleen McGrath, and that's an amazing organization, camponestep.org. I hope you'll take a look at it. And for all of you who contributed to any cause yesterday, thank you for that. 312-981-7200 is the number to call or text anytime this morning. Steve, I know you'll cover this at the bottom of the hour, but an update on the Eddie Johnson story. Continued reporting now says that the woman that he was seen with may have been part of his security detail.
Yeah, that's what we're hearing, too. And there may have been some kissing involved. So the story gets a little bit more, all these details are sort of, I don't know what the word is. It's uncomfortable reading them. And it was an uncomfortable situation, I'm sure, for his family to be hearing all of this and others. But those are the details coming out. And we're also hearing, too, that there has been some changes being made in the department behind the scenes. The one of the commanders in the Grand Central District has been demoted to the rank of captain, we're hearing today. We don't know if all of this is connected to Eddie Johnson, but the new acting superintendent has made some command changes. So we'll see if those are connected to the Johnson thing. There's also an investigation underway into some top members of the department to see whether or not they helped cover up any of this.
Questions linger on how the mayor handled this. We'll take this up with Pat Brady and Bridget Ginner as well. If the mayor's going to stand up and make a public statement that says, I am firing the superintendent of police, she therefore has to say why. And in saying why, I thought she generally took the high road by saying that the family, with respect to the family, I don't want to say anything. However, and I don't know how you avoid this, if you do say that, you put suspicion on whatever was going on in the first place. It all comes down to the same thing. If Eddie Johnson's fooling around, that's between him and his wife. If Eddie Johnson's drinking, driving, and lying to the mayor, that's a public problem. So I wish it had stayed in that particular area. Nonetheless, I hope Eddie Johnson gets his life in order, because I personally like him. And I think in the time that he had in the job, statistically and anecdotally, did a good job. So
yeah, and then the other part of this too, and back to what the mayor said, the Inspector General's report investigation is still ongoing, apparently. So there could be others that have been caught up in this that I think maybe she was holding back details because of that part of it. So, you know, we may hear more from her in the next week or so, perhaps, as this investigation comes to a close.
I've also heard that several of the people that Eddie Johnson had promoted have stepped aside and were either retiring or stepping down.
Well, I think that goes back to the thing that I mentioned to you earlier. These are some of the command changes that,
okay.
So some of them have stepped aside. Some of them have been removed. So we'll see whether or not this is actually connected to Eddie Johnson, or if this is just the new superintendent or the interim superintendent making the changes. He wants to have people that he wants in those positions.
And any idea on the replacement? Any rumors?
The search is ongoing. I think the deadline is coming up for everybody to have their applications in, right? So that is coming up. And, you know, we yesterday at this time we're talking about the interim superintendent Beck, why he hadn't been here. And Ryan Burrow from our news department told me that, and this is a fact that I had forgotten, he wasn't scheduled to start until the end of December.
Ah, okay.
So that's why he hadn't been here.
Well, that would make sense. Yeah. Big O coming up here in a little bit. There was a Japanese man. Is this, you know, he collects stories that we don't really have the place for in the rest of the show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've ever called customer service and you were irate and you had trouble holding back. Well, you had a JetBlue incident.
Yeah, a few months ago. About a year ago, yeah.
But a 71-year-old man in Japan, he's kind of, he ought to have a camp for anger. He made 24,000 complaint calls to a phone operator. He's accused of making thousands and thousands and thousands of calls to a company called KDDI and their free number. In 8 days, the company told local media had been calling repeatedly for 2.5 years. His name is Akitoshi Okamoto. And Japanese media report, he's accused that company of violating his phone contract because he was unable to pick up radio broadcasts on the phone. This dude likes radio.
Yes, he does.
So we support that. He called the customer service representative many times a day, only to hang up. And you can't really blame him because you would think, well, what else does he have to say?
Yeah.
He's out of stuff. He's got nothing else.
No new material.
Whether charges go forward or not remains to be seen. But I have to say, if you have enough time to make 24,000 calls, you have enough time to get a different phone.
Good point.
All right. In other news, there is a very big movie out now with a lot of very big stars in it. One of those stars has had sort of a quiet music career for most of his movie career.
Hmm.
I'm going to play you something here. This is a duet.
Okay.
And you, the old disc jockey.
Yeah.
I want to see if you can tell me who this is.
Okay.
All right, hit it.
Azúcar, gózalo, pechi, sabroso, báilalo, mami.
Movie star coming up.
When I'm away from you, I know what to say and do. But every time you're near, my courage disappears.
A-list movie star.
Don't know if I'll get through. Destroyed by you. And while you're collected and cool, I make a fool of myself.
Now, big music star here.
I want so much to be the only love you'll see.
Big, big hit guy right now. Do you know who that is?
No. Time I try to look good in your eyes.
Think of the voice. The voice judges.
The words are on my lips.
Maroon 5, Adam Levine.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's Adam Levine with a duet.
That's Adam Levine?
That's Adam Levine. But listen to the other person again. Coming up here, right here. Well, apparently now he's playing horns.
Yeah.
Is it a man or a woman?
Now, is it a man or a woman?
Yeah, that was my question.
Woman. Yeah, I think it's a man.
You think it's a man?
I think it's a woman.
I think it's a man.
So we got one woman and two men. When he comes back for the second chorus, crank it up again so they can hear it. This is more the chorus. This isn't going to do anything for us. Just save it for the particular person. I mean, you're going to be blown away.
Yeah, I think I have an idea.
And again, major movie out right now.
Yeah.
Filled with stars. And this person's been having this quiet little singing career forever.
Robert De Niro?
It's not Robert De Niro.
Yeah, see, I was thinking that movie as well.
Pesci.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was.
It's Joe Pesci.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
It's Joe Pesci.
Wow.
Super Joe, take it back to the beginning.
Sounds like a woman, though.
Yeah, and I don't know if he stylizes all of his music that way. His voice is not bad.
Yeah, no, it's like quality jazz music that you'd go to a club to hear.
And it's kind of recognizable with that.
Well, listen to this.
Yeah, okay.
I know what to say and do, but every time you're near, my courage disappears. Don't know if I'll get through being destroyed by you. And while you're
it's amazing. It's amazing.
Make you laugh.
It's amazing. It's Joe Pesci and Adam Levine.
It's the weirdest.
Maroon 4.5.
And it's a love song sung by one of the ultimate movie tough guys.
That's why I thought it was a
to
woman.
To a movie hit guy. Or to a music hit guy. That's unbelievable.
You could see them both standing on the piano, you know, lounging.
I guarantee you Pesci couldn't look at Adam Levine while he was singing.
I'll make you laugh like a clown.
What, do I amuse you?
Let's check in with the legend. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Well, good morning to you, Steve Cochran, Mr. Legend. And I didn't think I'd be talking to you at this time of the morning, but surprises never end.
You know what? Neither did I. How are you?
Well, I'm doing okay, thank you. Still dealing with my lower back pain challenge, but I'll find a way around that. Getting ready to get on an airplane here in Phoenix, Arizona. We'll be taking off at about 8 o'clock this morning and returning to Chicago. And we'll be there through the Christmas time. But, of course, we do continue to watch the agricultural scene and the market scene, particularly as far as farmers are concerned. And we can't do an agricultural report anymore without mentioning China, because the China-U.S. situation now has been up and down for the past year. And according to the president yesterday, it may continue until after the election next year. So it's kind of a wait-and-see game to see what's going to happen. But, you know, China has a problem that I hope we never have, and that is the main menu item for Chinese people is pork. And 50% of the hog crop in China has been decimated this past year by African swine fever. So China has a shortage of pork. We're hoping they will come to the U.S. to get some of it, but so far they've increased the purchases, but not nearly as much as traders expected. So
where are they buying it?
They're buying it from South America. They're getting it from Brazil. They're getting it, some of it from Argentina. But, you know, Brazil really had little or no agricultural activity in the world market about 5 years ago. And then we imposed a soybean embargo on soybean shipments to Japan. Japan said, wait a minute, we need those products from the United States, and if we can't get them there, we'll find another place to do it. And they established an agricultural economy in Brazil, basically on an embargo that the United States put in place on trade. We stopped selling soybeans to them, and we have watched them grow tremendously ever since. As a matter of fact, a story out earlier this week that Brazil will plant the biggest corn acreage in the country's history, and it's planting time right now in Brazil while we're finishing up harvesting. So we keep an eye on that South American hemisphere, and they have done so much in that country to improve logistics, because in order to get crops to the world market, they had to build roads and railroads and the ports on the Amazon. Have been a dramatic change for them, but they are now more of a competitor for U.S. farmers than we've seen in a long time.
And soybeans, all the soybeans that went to waste this year, they got those from Brazil as well in China?
Yes, they did. And of course, with the hog crop down half or 50%, that cut their demand for soybeans sharply, because soybeans go into soybean meal and livestock feed for the beef cattle, for the hogs, and also for the dairy cattle. So that change has impacted China. And the one thing is, they're right after the first of the year, they come into an important season for the lunar holiday, when you have to have pork on your menu. And in addition to that, it's the annual gathering of the Chinese Communist Party. They have to have a lot of pork for that. Thank God we have farmers that can produce everything we need, but China right now, they can't afford food shortages, particularly of pork, for their people, because their people will get restless.
You know, if it's not a politician making it harder for farmers, Democrats and Republicans, Now we have yoga trouble. Do you know about this, though? The goat yoga craze may already be over.
All over. Well, that's kind of like the ostrich and the other short-term.
The trends, right? We've got flamingo yoga that could replace goat yoga. Now, we had a lot of good farm goats that maybe didn't have grazing time this time of year who could still be providing goat service and goat yoga, make a little money on the side, a little goat money. And now flamingos horning in on their territory. Oh, I don't like it.
Well, I don't either. And there's another interesting story from outside the United States. In Russia, they're going to start putting virtual reality equipment on beef cattle and dairy cattle. Because the winters, they say, in Russia are so difficult for livestock that they're now going to put virtual reality glasses on cattle. They've already designed how they're going to make them to fit on the cattle so that instead of looking at snow, they'll be looking at green grass.
Is that right?
Yes.
That's pretty wild.
It was announced last week that they've conducted the first experiments and that they're going to do it because scientists there have decided it's not good for the personality of cows if they have to look at winter the year round.
Seasonal affective cow disorder.
Yes.
Big old watch the markets all day and be in touch and have a good flight, sir.
Well, thank you very much, and we'll look forward to seeing you.
All right, talk to you soon. That's Orion Samuelson, the legend, and we're back with the news coming up on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook, the ADP private payrolls report for November comes out this morning. That'll lead off the economic reports, could move the market some. Analysts expect to see nearly 145,000 private sector jobs added last month, up from 125,000 in October. Also today, the U.S. ISM non-manufacturing index is out earnings today from Campbell Soup and Slack, and the Australian GDP numbers out. Just some of the things that could move the markets on this Wednesday, December the 4th.
All right, so we're coming up on an important day or two in baseball, and the White Sox, who of course are on WGN, are making some noise and potentially spending a boatload of money on free agents.
Yeah.
Who's the number one get?
Well, they want to get, they're looking at Zach Wheeler from what all the indications are. He's a fireballer starting pitcher from the Mets. Well, the name Cole Hamels has popped up on a couple of radar screens.
Has he got anything left?
I think he does. I think it was just a tough year for everybody over there on the north side last year. And you know, Nicholas Castellanos, who's a guy that's certainly familiar with that division, playing in Detroit all those years. I know the Cubs would like him back. The White Sox would certainly entertain thoughts of bringing him over as well. I
mean, how many do you see him picking up? One, two?
Well, from all the things you hear, and again, I don't have any real inside knowledge on this yet, but they're looking to spend and at least bring in a couple of high-quality starting pitchers.
Yeah, well, that Mets move would be
great.
Gigantic.
I mean, they're going to have some company in that one, though.
Yeah, $200 million down the road.
Yep.
So it's a lot like what we pay Andy when he fills in for
Dave. I know.
We got a busy show here. We got Karen Conti coming up on The Law. And the president's scheduled to call after 7. Pat Brady and Bridget Gaynor will both be here to break down everything that's happened. Troy Murray after 9. And the Madrigal singers from which school are coming in, Super Joe? What school is it?
They're from Woodstock High School.
Oh, we love those guys.
Oh, we sure do.
And girls.
They're awesome.
Yep. Yeah, they're tremendous. So they'll be on to sing live after 8 o'clock this morning. Let's do the top 6 at 6 right now, and because there's things you need to know.
Now for some more news. Ready?
Welcome to the top 6 at 6.
What?
On the Steve Cochran Show.
That is great radio.
This is your first look at what people, animals, and assorted fruits and vegetables will be talking about today.
Item number one, multiple Chicago police employees are under investigation for allegedly engaging in a widespread cover-up to protect then-Superintendent Eddie Johnson and cover up the circumstances surrounding the October 17th drinking and driving incident that led to Mayor Lori Lightfoot firing Johnson over it after he lied about it. This is just a couple of weeks before he was scheduled to retire. Eddie Johnson did issue a statement yesterday about his dismissal and said this, and I quote, "I did not intentionally mislead or deceive the mayor or the people of Chicago. I acknowledge that I made a poor decision and had a lapse of judgment on the night of October 16th. That was a mistake, and I know that." I don't think it'll be left there, but certainly, you know, there's two sides to every story. Sometimes there's more than two. But again, I keep repeating what I keep saying, and that's we wish Eddie Johnson the best. Next, Chicago police announced yesterday their latest arrest for illegally selling guns and drugs through private Facebook groups, and complained that the social media platform has not been cooperating with the department's ongoing undercover investigation. Officers infiltrated 7 Facebook groups recently and made 147 undercover purchases. A total of 65 people were identified in the group, 53 of them now in custody, and 2 being sought in arrest warrants. Facebook counters by saying they almost immediately take down gun-selling pages, and they're much better at it than they're getting credit for.
Yeah, well, you saw the other part of that story, too, Steve, is that Facebook took down the police fake sites as well.
Right.
For privacy concerns, so hindering the police from doing the further investigation.
It's stunning how bad Facebook and the other social media sites are at just kind of cooperating and helping stop crime. Next, House impeachment inquiry opens a new phase today as the Judiciary Committee holds a hearing aimed at deciding whether to recommend articles of impeachment against President Trump. The hearing is going to focus on the constitutional grounds for impeachment, including the meaning of high crimes and misdemeanors from the Constitution. And that's what will cover the president potentially being removed. There are a number of things that came out of the report yesterday that indicate a lot of problems here. Here's a quote. If left unanswered, President Trump's ongoing effort to thwart Congress's impeachment power risks doing grave harm to the institution of Congress, the balance of power between our branches of government, and the constitutional order that the president and every member of Congress have sworn to protect and defend. And that's just part of it. Next, Senator Kamala Harris is out. Can't afford to go on. Doesn't have money to run her campaign. Who's going to benefit remains to be seen. Next. Disney unveiled a new collection of Baby Yoda toys, but none of the items are going to be available for Christmas. They'll be available for purchase in the spring of next year for $24. The interest in the collection came from a breakout character in the new Disney Plus series, The Mandalorian, which saw fans immediately drawn to Baby Yoda. How could you not know Baby Yoda would be a hit?
He's kind of cute, actually.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
And finally this. If you have a dog and the dog starts a fire, is it the dog's fault or your fault? Every once in a while, you hear a story about a dog saving a family from fire. 25 miles east of London is a town where a dog sensed that there was some bread in a package inside the microwave. So he got up on the microwave, turned the microwave on. The problem is he couldn't open the door. The bread burned. And eventually, because of one of those in-house video camera setups and apps on the phone, the owner of the house realized his house was on fire. He got the fire department over. The dog's okay. The house will survive as well. And the message is, don't store bread in your microwave.
This is the first thing I did with my dog when he was a puppy was teach him not to start fires.
Right. You have to.
Don't play with matches, no gasoline, no microwave.
And be careful who you hang out with.
Right.
We're getting into that year-end list thing that goes on, and a bunch of them are out. I noticed, Steve, yesterday that, is it Webster's came out with their word of the year?
I believe it was dictionary.com.
Okay. And it was a word of the year that I only heard about twice this year. Do you remember the word?
Existential.
Yeah. Who says existential?
I've heard it a number of times on different newscasts.
Because Bertrand's trying to impress people?
Well, I hear it a lot on... so you wouldn't hear it much on Fox News, but I've heard it a lot on CNN, and I've heard people say it on MSNBC as well. So they're discussing the political climate in the country, an existential threat to the country. That's the phrase I hear a lot.
You know, we were just talking about DrinkWorks. You know what existential is? Existential is the guy who looks at the wine, tastes the wine, and notes the hint of an oaky taste, an oaky flavor, with just hints of grape leaves and other nonsense.
You're thinking of somebody else.
But that's existential. Existential, mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about the definition of existential. You start throwing the word existential into your vocabulary, it's time for you to go home.
Sounds like a good name for a breakfast restaurant.
Meanwhile...
Oh, E-G-G-S, yeah. Existential, yeah.
I'm surprised it hasn't been done.
It's a snooty word.
Exactly. Snooty word.
Snooty, yes.
Snooty.
Oreo has announced the inspiration for its latest mystery flavor. A lot of people thought French toast. French toast Oreos, do we really need that? Well, good news is they didn't make them yet. Doesn't mean they won't. But an Instagram post shared yesterday, the makers of Oreos revealed the brand new Oreo flavor that you've been wondering about. Is churro.
Huh?
Oreo churro. You know the little Mexican treat?
A little cinnamon sugar on it?
Cinnamon sugar stick that you could have at a state fair or a carnival? churro flavored Oreos.
Ooh.
Do we need that?
How's that going to be in the milk?
I don't know.
Not good.
Yeah, no, I'm going to have to say that I'm against it. So, 312-981-7200 is the number you can call or text anytime. I barely have checked in with you guys. Everybody okay? You know, after 9 o'clock, I don't see or talk to anybody. So I like to check in with you live on the air so we don't have to have long conversations off the air. Andy's filling in for Dave again. Mm-hmm. You're okay?
I'm good. Thanks for
good,
asking.
Good. Yeah. Steve, you're okay?
We're okay. We the newsroom this morning had a drill about whether or not we have the on or off button on the console here because of yesterday at 5 o'clock. So we now know how to turn on the board, the control board here.
Do we know? Yesterday morning at the start of the show at 5, there was 2 minutes of dead air because somebody unplugged the gerbil's treadmill. do we know why there's an on-off button? I mean, doesn't it seem like shouldn't something that should be at all the time?
Yeah. It seems like a hand grenade thrown into a crowded group of people. But the button, so if you are sitting here and you want to do something off of the air, you're going to produce something off of the air. So
record a story or something.
One of our reporters wants to record a story or something, that will turn the button off so that it doesn't go out over the air, but still is able to record on the soundboard here. So that's what happened. Yes.
Have we at any point determined who the criminal is that caused this problem?
Yes, we have a very good idea who the criminal is, and my understanding is that person has been talked to.
The yogurt fairy.
But we also have run through so everybody here knows now what the possibility could be if we're not getting sound. We know what button to press.
We also found out that anytime it seems like I screwed up, it was somebody else's fault.
That's exactly right. Because everybody was looking at Joe yesterday morning, like, Joe, fix it.
Right, because why can't you, Joe?
Yeah,
exactly. And Mary, you're fine? It's my morning check-in, Mary.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm going to have some yogurt now. Would you like some?
No, I'm fine.
Good, because I've done enough.
Dang. We're trying to figure out when we could get together for each year. I have everybody join me for a holiday lunch, because we don't do dinners because it's too late in the day. And putting that schedule together is not exactly the easiest thing in the world, especially with Ennett, because Ennett's got basketball games.
Ennett's schedule, he's like, I can do every day, but this. That's about 30.
It's like 3 days he's available between now and spring.
It's the truth.
Go Cats.
Yeah. So we've had to take the holiday get-together and do something I'm against, and that's push it into January.
Ooh.
Because I don't like the holiday parties that are in January.
Yeah.
Holiday parties should be in the month of December.
Yeah, it's like people sending the Christmas cards after Christmas, the New Year's cards.
Yeah.
Nah.
There's a time, there's a season.
Like it's like a leftover party,
This feels like a real Scrooge move, too, by the way. I just, not very happy holidays feeling.
What are you talking about? How's it my fault?
Well, it's not your fault, but it just feels like now that we have to wait till January, I mean...
Should we have individual lunches with everyone?
Well, there is one less week between Thanksgiving and Christmas this year, so it's really screwing up everybody, especially me. Wait a minute. I don't have enough time to shop.
Well, we have regular contributors to the show, too, and now I've got to figure out if I'm going to invite them. I like them.
Do we usually invite them?
I don't remember, to be honest with you.
Oh.
And in the past, what would happen is, because I don't like when other people pick up the check. It doesn't make me a good person or a bad person. It's just who I am. And the guy that used to run this place, Jimmy DeCastro, wouldn't let anyone pay but him. I mean, Warren Buffett would come through town.
Well, maybe you should invite him again.
Pick up the check. So Jimmy picked up the check 1 year, and then the guy that used to run this place, Todd Manley, pick up a check a couple of years. I can guarantee you it's on me this year. So let's find a date where we can all go, shall we? And then we'll report back to you on the wild holiday lunch that we have planned.
Are we going to get a movie out of this?
What do you mean?
Dinner and a movie. Come on.
Dinner and a movie?
Yeah?
Well, it depends on what my expectations are at the end of the night.
Yeah, Frozen 2.
So, all right, I'm going to be off the next couple of days. End of the year.
What?
Bob Surratt is doing both shows, right? Is Surratt filling in both days? Bob Surratt will be here both tomorrow and Friday. And I love Bob. Fabulous guy. When he and Marianne exited here, they ended up on LS for for about a year and couldn't take that, understandably. And it'll be just be nice to have Surratt back here. I know he's filled in for Roe a couple of times, but I just remember vividly Bob Surratt telling me almost every day, I don't know how you do it. I'd never get up and do a show at that hour.
Oh, boy.
So if you think I'm whiny at this hour, stand by. Surratt may be a little tired when he gets in here for tomorrow and Friday's show. Oh, by the way, I'll be back on Monday. Much to the chagrin of Statler and Waldorf, who continue to text me this morning how much they hate the show.
Hate the show.
I hate the show and listen every morning. Thank you for that. It is 6:38. We'll get with Karen Conti here as soon as possible. Efforting that right now. So amongst the topics we will discuss is the snowball throwing ban in Wisconsin. Andy, this came up yesterday on the show, as you know. And the idea being, if you're in Wausau, feel free to withhold all missiles, rocks, arrows, and snowballs from throwing them at friends and neighbors.
Especially if they're on a public sidewalk.
That's the question, right? So if I'm in my own yard with my own snow, and I make a snowball, and you're walking down a sidewalk, and I want to ping you in the head, why can't I do it?
Yeah. It's a question of, is it origin or where it lands?
Now you're getting into the legal stuff.
There you go.
That's why we need a lawyer. We'll also talk to Karen about Pete Davidson, the Saturday Night Live weird-looking little dude, who continues to date stunningly beautiful women, by the way. I don't even know how to get into that. But Pete Davidson, in his last couple of gigs, including one here in Chicago last weekend, asked the entire audience to sign non-disparagement and non-disclosure arrangements. So we'll ask Karen about that, too. Is Karen with us? All right, let's grab this right now, then. Go to Karen Conti. Good morning, Karen. How are you?
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing fine. What's the number at the office?
312-332-7800 or WGN at AskKarenConti.com.
We'll come back to the snowball question. That's obviously the biggest legal story. Pete Davidson wanting an NDA from the audience. Look, it's hard to protect your own material. And people come in with phones, and there's some artists who have tried blocking the phones or insisting that you know, have your phone turned off. I mean, there's lots of ways that people are experimenting with trying to stop this. But where are we legally with it?
Standpoint, I guess I don't have a problem with that because you don't want people selling or stuff that might be copyrightable, that type of thing. But his non-disclosure goes farther. It says that you can't say anything bad or you can't comment on the quality of his show after the show.
No, which is ridiculous.
And, you sign that and you're basically liable for $1 million if you do that. Well, who's going to go to see a comedian who might be, you know, doing what most comedians do, which is to skewer the world and then not allow people to say something bad about your act? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, I mean, anything.
From a legal standpoint, he can do whatever he wants. It's a contract. You come to the show. Here are the qualifications. Here are the restrictions. You sign it, and you're bound by it. Now, what would a court do with that? I don't think a court would like it, but I think it probably would be enforceable.
Those who purchased tickets were reportedly emailed about the NDAs a few hours before the show and were encouraged to save time at the venue by printing and signing the documents ahead of time. Customers were told that anyone unable or unwilling to sign would not be allowed to enter the show and would be offered a full refund.
Well, the fact that he did it sort of last minute is probably something that would go toward it not being enforceable. The other thing is, too, like, would it really be $1 million? I mean, is that really what his damages are if someone went out and said something bad about his act? I think the whole thing is kind of distasteful. I think, you know, maybe in the future we're going to see laws that prohibit this kind of thing. People talk about First Amendment. This isn't First Amendment because this is private, or, you know, a private person, a private company. And First Amendment, as we know, only applies to governmental action when they try to restrict your rights. So clearly that's not a First Amendment issue, but it just strikes us as wrong that we can't go enjoy something and say we don't like it.
Pete's got some anger issues. And I think he's an entertaining guy, and he's got a very interesting personal story. His dad was amongst the first responders killed on 9/11.
I didn't know that.
But he's got some anger, and he did a show in Central Florida at the University of Central Florida, UCF. And on stage, he noticed a lot of people were, you know, taking their phones out, taking pictures and stuff. And he went nuts on them. and said, whenever somebody else comes to your effing town and is exhausted and flies all the way to the middle of effing nowhere to do jokes for you privileged little a-holes, don't effing ruin the show for people who actually want to be here. You know, I got to tell you, I've been on a lot of stages in the last 40 years. That's not exactly a way you warm up the crowd.
No, and one of the things in comedy that you know, Steve, and I know is growing up with a father who was a professional comedian, is you got to get the audience to like you on some level, whether you're Don Rickles or whoever you are. They laugh because they like you. And when you start saying things like that, that's not very stupid. You don't need a lawyer to tell you that.
Pete said that he's going to refuse to do college shows anymore because there's no respect, and you can't talk about anything. The second you open your mouth and have an opinion, you lose money because there's not a safe place for them to live in. Listen, if you hate an audience, don't go.
But I mean, look at what he's doing. He's making them sign an agreement that they're not going to talk about it. So, you know, that it's kind of ironic, I guess I should say.
And it's not really a fair comparison to the Louis C.K. thing. I'm not defending anything Louis C.K. has done, but what he does on stage is tries to insist that you don't steal his material. And he does it in a number of different ways, including some of the cell phone blocking technology that's out there that Beyonce and other people have used as well. Now, people think because you're an artist on any level that it's okay to take your stuff. It's okay to steal your music. It's okay to whatever. It's no different than walking into a Walgreens, grabbing something, shoving it in your coat, and walking out. It's not yours. You don't own it. You're taking money out of the artist's pocket.
Well, and the interesting thing is, though, that sometimes, and we had this lawsuit with Conan O'Brien where he was sued because someone said that they made up a joke and that he used it and didn't pay him. Well, the idea is a lot of comedians come up with the same type of joke or the same kind of line about a topical issue because comedians kind of think alike, and being funny, you know, doesn't mean that someone else can't be funny in the same way. So, you know, there's a thin line there, and how do you protect yourself? I get it. You know, once you do an act and it's all over the internet, those jokes are done. You've got to now get new material, which is hard for a comedian.
And tell everybody who your dad is, or was, I should say.
Oh, my father was a stand-up comic. He was a nightclub comic. He played in the Playboy clubs for years in Chicago and across the country, and he performed in nightclubs and conventions and state fairs, and he was quite a little entertainer.
And a good man. It was Carrot Top.
And a good man.
Carrot Top was Karen Conti's father. No, what was his stage name?
Richard Pryor. No, it was people look at me and they think, no, I don't think so. Joe Conti was his name.
Yes, that's right. And I'm sure many in the audience saw him at some point. All right, back on the Steve Cochran Show. It is, how many days? 335 days till the election next year. This is show number 1,497. So if you do the math, next Wednesday will be show number 1,500 because I'm off the next 2 days. Or do we count the shows when I'm not here?
No.
I certainly do not.
Yeah, good call by you. Karen Conti's back with us. We're talking about the big stories in the news, in the law this week. The former Hamilton musical director has had a fight with the Hamilton people and the Chicago Federation of Musicians over being fired. Says the union didn't back him up, paid $100,000 or more in union dues, thought he'd have legal representation, and he did not. Who's right here?
I don't know. This is a tough one because usually you know if you're a union member. If you're a union member, you get the union protection, meaning if you're terminated, you have a procedure and you get a lawyer appointed for you who's going to represent you. He said he's a member of the union because he's been paying union dues for years. They're saying, no, he was a supervisor. And usually supervisors who are in management, of course, are not under the collective bargaining agreement. So this, to me, is black or white. Was he a member of the union? Was he paying dues? And did he get his representation? The problem is, what are his damages? If he was fired for whatever reason he was fired, would that lawyer have gotten him back to work, or was he fired for appropriate reasons? I guess we'll never know because he didn't get his representation. I don't know that this is going anywhere. It sounds like, to me, a little sour grapes here. That's what it sounds
like. Yeah, what I don't understand is because you've taught us for years that this is an at-will work state and you can be fired at any time for any reason. But if you have a contract, what's written in the contract has to be honored by both parties. So is this a contract dispute? Because if there's specific language in the contract that would cover firing, right?
But this is a question of whether he even gets those contract rights, because if he's not covered by the union contract because he's in management or supervisory position, then he doesn't get any of those protections, and he can be fired without any procedure or any representation. So the question is not really over the procedure. It's whether he even gets the procedure.
So, again, wherever you work, if you don't want to get fired or you want to get fired with protection, get a contract immediately, including if you're working the Popeye's drive-thru selling the chicken sandwiches. Karen will represent you.
I will do that.
Elon Musk has a really big mouth, and sometimes it costs him a lot of money. And he's not above tweeting stupid things. He's clearly a genius. I mean, the guy has phenomenal ideas and things that are popping out of his head all the time. And the Tesla is an unbelievable car. Having said all that, when you tweet something that accuses someone else of being a pedophile and throw around names like pedo guy, I mean, he's got to pay, doesn't he?
Right. And this is a case of the guy who rescued the 12 boys and their soccer coach from that cave in Thailand.
Right.
And the guy who helped get these boys out, to me, is a hero. But for some reason, Elon Musk focused on him and called him a pedo man or pedophile or whatever he called him, some little pet name for a pedophile.
Yeah, pedo guy.
And he kept at it, and he just wouldn't stop it. I don't even understand his basis for doing it. I don't understand why he thought it was important for him to do it or to knock down some guy who obviously knew what he was doing and got these kids out. Anyway, the case is going to a jury trial, and it looks to me like, I mean, I'm not a big fan of suing people for defamation when someone says something you don't like, but this guy, Elon Musk, was saying it all over internationally and then wouldn't stop. And then he stopped, and then he kept up again and defended his position. And this guy sued him, and the case is going to trial.
Is there any indication or reason to believe that Mr. Unsworth, the alleged wronged individual here, has some issue of pedophilia?
Well, that would come up. I mean, clearly the defense for Elon Musk is, I said what was true. And if he does have a record for being a pedophile, I kind of think we would have known that,
right?
Somehow. Some journalist would have done a little digging and found out that he had some issue. My guess is that this is just a tweet that had no basis in the beginning, and then he had to defend it later, and now here we are. But again, most people don't have the money to bring these suits. People think, someone says something false about me, I'm going to just hire a lawyer. Well, $200,000 later, you really, can't afford to do that. And that's unfortunate when people say things that harm you personally and professionally.
Yeah, it's not about your feelings being hurt. It's about sustaining damages that cost you money or cost you standing.
Absolutely. And the one other thing you have to know is that when these lawsuits are brought, it sort of perpetuates that defamation. And in that, I probably wouldn't have known that Elon Musk
right.
said this, but for the fact that I'm reading in CNN Business that this lawsuit is going forward this week. So, of course, we're all going, could it be true? Right. So, again, it's perpetuating that defamation.
Yeah, we have great ratings here in the Chicago area, and we thank the people that listen every morning very much for that. I believe we're big in Wausau as well. And in Wausau comes our biggest legal story, Karen, and that is that Wausau has outlawed the public throwing of snowballs on any public property. You can't do it on sidewalks, city streets, at school, public parking lots. You can't do it. So my question is, Karen, if Andy Mazur's walking down the street and I want to ping him in the side of the head with a snowball, can I throw it from my yard?
You know, probably you can.
There you go.
This is just a strange thing. I mean, I think it's funny, but, let's do it technically, because this is, what my job is, I suppose. If you throw something at someone and it's harmful, that's a battery, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a contact that's unwanted and that's harmful. So
even though Andy deserved it.
Even though Andy deserved it, you crack him in the face, he gets a broken nose, now he has to get his nose fixed
right.
again.
Right.
And so now, of course, he has the lawsuit against you. So throwing snowballs at someone is probably a battery, unless you consent to it, meaning you're having a snowball fight, in which case you've consented to that, quote, harmful contact, and so therefore it's not a battery. But to outlaw it, sure, they can do that. Why not? I mean, it would probably be something that they could deem to be a safety measure, but the problem is there could be a snowball effect.
Look what you did there. Now, and you're better than that, by the way. I can hear Joe spinning. here's the thing. Snowball fights can be fun.
Yeah.
Throwing snowballs at each other can be a good time. I think there's a money-making opportunity here in Wausau. You have whoever's got the biggest lot, Invite everybody over for a couple of bucks to whip snowballs at each other. Come on, well, people
who didn't even want to throw snowballs are now going to go, now I kind of feel like I want to go out and do that.
Right.
Yeah.
I can't have the man holding me down when it comes to throwing snowballs. I won't have it.
What's next? They're going to prohibit the building of snowmen.
Oh, snow angels.
Because that would be trespassing.
What about if they stop me from spelling my name in the snow? Huh?
Well, public indecency. They already have one for that.
Actually, public property. They should stop me from doing that. Karen, delightful as always. What's the number at the office?
312-332-7800 or WGN at AskKarenConti.com.
And when there's no sports on Sunday nights, Karen's on the radio. All right. It is the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom where we will be when we come back. All right. 7:09. Pat Brady's here. And Pat, along with the regular duties he has at his fine company, which is called what, Pat?
Next Generation Strategies.
You also help run the Lincoln Forum. And what is the Lincoln Forum?
Lincoln Forum is a public policy forum founded by me, Eric Edelstein, and Tracy Slutskin from River Strategies, trying to provide a nonpartisan forum to have discussions of the day, so I have discussions without being jerks to one another.
Here's the thing. The problems at the City Club are pretty well known now.
Yeah, so, federal search warrants usually a problem.
Yeah, so with the City Club not having maybe the same sort of thump with their big monthly speeches, why can't the Lincoln Forum pick up some of that?
We are. In fact, I think we're going to have a great year next year. We're planning out the schedule. We're going to get some of the biggest names in public policy in the state. So, yeah.
Speaking of this state, downstate, there's rumors that at any given time, as we just passed the one-year anniversary of the Ed Burke indictment, that more could be coming. Are you hearing anything about that?
I'd tell you, but I'd have to kill you.
That makes sense.
But I am, yes, I hear there's more. Been hearing that, though. You know how these things go. Everybody's got a friend who's got a friend that says that this is coming down tomorrow. But I talked to some friends who have friends that actually are usually pretty accurate that say there might be something tomorrow.
There's not that many legislators in Springfield. It is a finite number. Can we save some time if we just pick them all up?
Well, it's interesting. Yesterday, I went to a great forum at the federal courthouse that the Historical Society put on there. It was all the Graylord prosecutors, Dan Webb, Dan Reedy, Judge Tom Durkin, and the others. And they talked about this list of attorneys that were the favorite attorneys that had the bagmen and all the corruption that went on there. And I was sitting next to a guy who's followed that closely, too. We both said the parallels to that investigation and what's going on now, it could be that type of scope, a Graylord, an Operation Gambit that took down the first ward. So we'll wait and see what happens. But directionally, it looks that's where the feds may be going.
Bridget Gaynor will join us shortly. She's in the PPG Paints Green Room. The president will be calling. And you and I are going to have to discuss, the elephant in the room. And by that, I mean the one with the orange hair. Because the impeachment hearings for the Judiciary Committee start in a couple of hours. Well, about an hour now. And we expect to see the same sort of posing and speech making that goes on in all of these hearings. But I want to get your take and Bridget's take on where this goes. Okay, because it's been a mess. Oh, and also we need to talk about Eddie Johnson.
Yes.
So, who I think you agree with me, we both like, personally.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So
where's Bridget?
She was in the PPG Paints Green Room.
What's she doing?
Well, she was painting.
What, finger paint by number?
Yeah, we do a paint by number thing in there for all guests.
Mr. Bridget.
But you never go there. You just come straight in.
I'm very artistic. You just didn't know that about me.
That's exactly right.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. My daughter is 16 years old today.
Happy birthday!
Wow. Driving or?
No, they don't want their license. I don't get it.
I started driving when I was like 12.
I got my license on my birthday. I was standing there in line right after school.
You didn't have your I'm taking the car, Dad, I'm 12 years old because you're out to dinner license like I had?
Well, there was that, but that's like an age flexor. You could.
I could drive a Ford Pinto stick shift when I was 13.
Yeah. I used to drive my father home.
And that has served you well.
I'm not kidding. It's only sad because it's true.
Yeah.
Well, happy birthday. What's the big plan?
Indian food, because she's also become a vegetarian about 2 months ago, which is creating a whole, like, I'm like,
What does that exactly mean?
I'm not an awesome cook to begin with, but I've figured it out over the course of cooking for people for 30 years. And now I got to figure out how to do that, which is different. So.
There's some carrots, right? That's what they eat.
We have a lot of...
Plus, I have a son who's like a blast furnace. I mean, Finn...
Oh, yeah, he can eat everything.
So I have to, like, make a meal, then there's a vegetarian option, and then there's, like, a side of beef for him.
And what mom or dad doesn't love that?
What happened to pot roast and meatloaf, like, 5 nights a week?
Well, look, roast chicken... I mean, like, I had a whole repertoire, and it was easy.
I have a lot of Indian folks in my neighborhood. I could just knock on the door, ask them for food, and bring it to you next time.
Well, so I got her Indian cooking classes for her birthday, so the two of us are going to take Indian cooking, yeah.
What's your middle name? Lily...
Lillian Quinn, my grandma's maiden name.
Oh, wow. Pretty nice.
Nice?
Yeah, that's
very nice. Bridget is out of the PPG paint screen room and in the studio, and we'll come back with both of these folks in just a second. Oh, and Trump's calling.
Be sure to check out the CB app or hit up Facebook and tell Chicago's Best TV where you like to eat. Watch Chicago's Best Sunday at 10 p.m. on WGN-TV. Your pick may be Chicago's Best.
We will, we're expecting a call from the president in a few moments here, but I want to talk about this Eddie Johnson thing for a second. Bridget Gaynor's here. And Pat Brady's here. Well, your thoughts, either one of you. I mean, in regards to what the mayor said, I think we can all agree we're all Eddie Johnson fans. And in the short amount of time that he ran the police department, the numbers were headed in the right direction. So if we start there, how did you feel about how this went down?
I do. I repeat that. I like the guy. I thought he was doing a good job as superintendent. And as far as what the mayor said, listen, she ran as a reformer, and she ran on we're not going to do business as usual. So she had to make it a pretty aggressive statement when she fired him. And at the minute she backs off that, she's going to be criticized, and she's going to be seen as less a reformer. And the reality is, I mean, she won every ward and all but, I think, 23 precincts. So she's got to stay with that. I don't think the statement was perfect. There are some things that were said in there that probably didn't need to be said. But to me, the big story is going to be in the reporting this morning is, it was there a cover-up of what happened in the time that this initially broke into today within the police department?
You know, I agree. I mean, I think the rank and file liked him, and I think that he tried to address issues of morale, which I think are a problem. And, you know, if you drink when you're driving and they catch you and, you know, you're in a leadership position, that's not okay, and it's a fireable offense. I don't think we have to have this thirst for Old Testament justice when it comes to discussing things that aren't relevant to the job. And so I think...
Well, that's where I feel the mistake was made. The mistake in the statement being made that out of respect for his wife and his children, that only brings up one thing in mind. And whether Eddie Johnson was fooling around on his wife is between him and his wife. And it has nothing to do with whether he's doing the job.
Yeah, I think, you know, this is the world we're living in, though. Now everyone wants to, like, they think someone might have done something wrong, and, you know, they want to go heavy for it. And, you know, I think that a little bit of mercy goes a long way, and all of us need it at some point in time.
Could we see this coming 3 years ago when he said he didn't want the job? Because here's the thing, not the specific ending, but the idea that maybe it wouldn't last because he didn't want the job. And he was a really good Chicago cop for 30 years. And then he becomes one of the most famous faces in the city, one of the most famous cop faces in the country. It's tough when you go from that guy to celebrity.
Yeah, but he walked right into Laquan McDonald, too.
Yeah, that's true, too.
The worst times to take that job.
Well, and I also think that when you get a new mayor, you 99 out of 100, you get a new police superintendent, because everybody needs their own crew. And I think that there's been value that the mayor's been able to come in, settle big things like the budget and some other, the CPS strike and lots of things that had to be handled. And this got to stay, you know, on autopilot to the degree that it didn't have to be addressed right away. And now those big things are done.
Plus, we got through the summer, which is murder season.
We got through the summer. And so there was, I think he added an enormous amount of value in creating stability for the first, you know, 6 months of her tenure. And now they can focus on the police department. There's someone in the interim spot.
Are you guys hearing any names about a replacement?
This guy is the replacement, isn't he?
No, Charlie Beck is just a temporary. So he's there for 6 months. He's the interim. I thought that whole part was handled, you know, really smoothly.
Is it a real interim or is it an interim?
No, because, it's a real interim. Okay. It's a real interim.
He retired from L.A., ran in L.A. a while ago. He didn't want to do it anymore.
Well, we joke all the time. My mom's favorite show is Blue Bloods. And so we're like, oh, my God, Tom Selleck is our police commissioner.
I bet he'd do it.
Tom Selleck?
Yeah, I bet he'd do it.
Why not? We should ask him.
You know who lives in St. Charles is Donnie Wahlberg. He's on Blue Bloods. Why don't we just promote Donnie?
Yeah, he's my neighbor. I'll go over and ask him.
That's what I'm talking about.
Who's he married to?
Jenny McCarthy.
Jenny McCarthy.
Yeah. So,
you're saying there's trouble there as well before we even get started?
No, they're very generous to the community. I think they're opening up a Wahlburgers out there.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. So, look, I'm not taking shots at the mayor at all. I think the mayor did the right thing and did it quickly and sent a message. But I think he did get caught up a little bit in the message sending, and it felt a little personal on some level.
Well, I don't know if you get more personal than that.
Well, here's the deal. And if this is an actual member of his security detail, then it is. I mean, I don't like the personal thing either. I mean, it just never sits well with people. But this is a city that drastically needs reform, and the mayor is the former federal prosecutor. That's why she won. And maybe you do have to be a little over the line to send the message that it's not business as usual. And I'm going to take that stand, and you know, criticize me if you want, but that's how I'm going to run things, and we'll see if that works. But I kind of like the approach.
Dan's in Evanston with a question for Bridget. What do you got, Dan?
Yes, hi. Bridget, quick question. We have a new decade coming upon us. Can you tell us a little bit about some long-term plans for the county? You know, it's no known secret that we're losing population here to places such as the Southwest, Texas, Florida.
People leaving and leaving, yeah.
What are we doing about the real estate taxes? And is it possible to get to a 1% real estate tax cap? So we would cap our real estate taxes at 1%. The difference is made up with the user tax. So I'm just curious what you would have to say about that. Thank you.
Thanks. Appreciate the call. And I've advocated border guards for a long time. We got to stop people from leaving the state.
Show me your papers. On advice of counsel, I advise you not to answer that.
So, with this 1% versus usury tax thing has been floated for a long time. Does it work? Has anybody run the math?
California is, I think, one of the only states with a cap on property taxes. And what happens is it's like squeezing the tube of toothpaste. It goes somewhere else, and you've got to, you know, figure out what is most fair. Now, you know, the caller's got a really good point that if you look in the South suburbs, their property taxes are so high, it makes it almost impossible for a business, and it makes home ownership really expensive. One of the things, as you guys know, I do a lot around housing and affordable housing and with the land bank. And one of the things we're about to do this year for the first time, so the county basically controls, through the scavenger sale, half of all the vacant property in all of Cook County, most of which exists in the neighborhoods we're losing the most population from. And so we've gone through this tedious 3.5-year process, and we're going to bring out several thousand of those properties, liberate them, get them back out into the market, because you've got to have naturally occurring affordable housing. So we're doing our part. I think looking at the tax stuff has to happen, and has to happen statewide.
Later, loser.
Oh, perfect timing. Perfect timing. Live later, from London. Good morning, Mr. President. How are you?
Good morning, Cochran. Hey, great to be with me again. I'm calling from one of those red phone booths, so if this goes longer than 5 minutes, I might have to deposit a few more shillings.
Got it.
You know what? By the way, did you have a nice Cyber Monday? I forgot to ask. I heard Nasty Nancy Pelosi caused the Yankee Candle website to crash. Did you know that?
You got a lot on your mind. Listen, you got to be a little jet lagged. Trip to London for the NATO summit, Afghanistan last week, surprise trip to the troops. How was that, by the way?
It was great. And I will tell you, it was incredibly brave of me to fly into the war zone like that. It really was. Not only that, it was a totally top secret visit. Top secret. Nobody knew I was coming. It was a top secret mission that we called Operation Tangerine Ninja. Yeah, they were so glad to see me there. And we snuck out as fast as we flew in. It was a good thing, too, because we were able to get out just in the nick of time, right before they had their gigantic doorbuster deals at the Kandahar Walmart.
Right. Who needs that traffic? Now, we mentioned your trip to England for the NATO summit, and you meet with the Queen when you're there. Is that right?
Yes, it's always great seeing Her Majesty, the Mummy Queen. Is that how you say it? Queen Mummy.
That's actually Queen Elizabeth's mother, sir, who's passed. Do you mean the Queen Mum?
I know what I meant, Mike. I just don't like to abbreviate. It's very disrespectful. I like the royals, Cochran. I really do. And that Prince Charles, he has a really great voice. Have you heard him talk? I mean, seriously, he would sound tremendous in one of those reverse mortgage commercials. He really would.
Well, his brother may be headed there. Listen, the NATO summit, how's it actually going?
Boring. You know, I actually thought my aide said we were going to the Sharknado Summit. You know, like a Comic-Con for the people who like that movie.
Right.
You pay money to stand in line, get a picture with Tara Reid.
Right.
I would have totally done that. Even though she's not as hot as the American Pie days, I'd totally give her a solid 6.5.
That's big of you. Switching topics, the impeachment report came out yesterday. 300 pages of bad news for you.
Can you believe this nonsense? This thing is such a rambling mess, Cochran. It feels twice as long as that movie, The Irishman. Seriously. This stuff keeps getting more and more absurd. First, follow with me, it was the witch hunt.
Witch hunt.
Then it was the hoax.
Hoax.
Then it was a sham.
Sham.
Then it was a ruse.
Ruse.
And now it's gone so far that it's a full-fledged fix.
Fix.
Full-fledged fix. There's so many reports, it's hard to keep up. And I will tell you, if Pencil Neck Schiff, Nasty Nancy Pegrosi, and Jerry Gonadler starred together in a reality show, it'd be called Schmuck Dynasty. Look, bottom line is this, Cochran. I did nothing wrong. Nothing. Matter of fact, if you ask people, lots of people say this, they will tell you, out of all the presidents in history that have done nothing wrong, I'm the one who has done nothing wrong the most.
Okay,
the most.
Okay. And it's not Jerry Gonadler, sir, but we can talk another time about that. A new poll says that there are a majority of Republicans that think you're a better president than Abraham Lincoln.
You know what? I'm extremely humbled by that, and I completely agree with him. Don't get me wrong. Lincoln was a tremendous guy, but I am so much better looking. You know, he was rail thin with that Amish beard that had no mustache and the goofy Monopoly guy hat he always wore.
Right.
Seriously, Abe was a good president, but I like presidents who weren't assassinated, okay? Which is why you'll never catch me watching a play. Have you been to a play? They're terrible. Especially Cats. I would never go to see something so boring, which I'm going to be the president for a long, long time because I'm not going to a play.
Yeah,
believe me.
The Cats thing, once again, we found something we agree on. Any compliment for Senator Kamala Harris on her decision or just a comment in general?
You know, that's a shame, because I liked Kamala. I liked her. She looked way sexier in a pantsuit than Crooked Hillary ever did. And now with her and Montana Governor Steve Bullock out, the Democrats have narrowed down the field to just 37 candidates. Yeah, in all fairness, it's a good thing she dropped out when she did, because beating Kamala in the polls was beginning to be like beating the Detroit Lions. Everyone's been doing it.
Yeah, even the Bears. Listen, Kid Rock went a little nuts over the weekend. Went after Oprah, a bunch of other people, had to be escorted off stage, made a drunken, expletive-laden rant. Any comment on that?
Yeah, I heard what he said, and actually, we may use some of that for our new Trump 2020 T-shirts and red hats. Let's be sure to order those, Mike.
Well, maybe we should run it by the lawyers first, sir.
Nah, just do it. Look, Kid Rock is one of my favorite white trash rock stars. He really is, Cochran. And I was very impressed with how he handled himself under pressure. So I'm officially naming Kid Rock special envoy in our Taliban talks. Mm. He's the greatest American hero, next to Joe Dirt. Let me tell you, he's known for his really smart lyrics. I think that's what I like about him. How does that one song go, Pence?
Oh, you mean ball with the ball, da bang, diggy, diggy, shake the boogie, set up, jump the boogie?
Wow. Great job, Mike.
I even moved my hands like a rapper. Did you see that, sir?
I saw that. Nicely done.
Last thing, Joe Biden seen biting his nails while Jill, his wife, was speaking to support. Did you see that?
Well, you mean biting Jill's finger?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. And in all fairness, I got to give Sleepy Joe some props. He's always coming up with new and innovative ways to be creepy. Frankly, I'm surprised he was able to physically pull it off, you know, to get the finger in there with his foot already in his mouth.
Oh, sure, yeah, look what you did there.
Now, Cochran, you want to know what else bites besides Joe Biden?
What's that?
His poll numbers.
Oh, look what you did there.
Yeah.
Listen, we appreciate the time, as always. You know how busy you are.
Hey, before I go, real quick, I need your opinion on a Christmas gift idea.
Sure, yeah, that makes sense.
Maybe you could ask Mary in traffic. Mm-hmm. What do you think about getting a Peloton exercise bike for Melania? It's the perfect gift for women, am I right?
I'm going to touch that, sir. I think she looks pretty good.
Hey, she could stand to lose a few.
Goodbye, Mr. President.
Later, loser.
You can tell he said it with a British accent.
Oh,
headlines next, 720 WGN. Bob Serrato will be here tomorrow and Friday, filling in for me, and I'll be back on Monday. All right, Pat Brady is here, and Bridget Gaynor is here as well. I want to read you something from the House Intelligence Committee report that came out yesterday. Now that it's being sent over to judiciary, this seems to like it kind of sums it up. Here's a quote. The impeachment inquiry has found that President Trump, personally and acting through agents within and outside the U.S. government, solicited the interference of a foreign government, Ukraine, to benefit his reelection. And in furtherance of this scheme, President Trump conditioned official acts on a public announcement by the new Ukrainian president of politically motivated investigations, including one into President Trump's domestic political opponent. Well, there's your business plan. I mean, that's the summary right there.
It's clear he did it. But my position's been all along, impeachment's a bad idea. Now we have the Intel Committee that spent the last 3 years focusing on this and other things. And we have all the stuff going on in the world right now that's not being paid attention to, particularly the Russians, who are going to try to hack into our next election. So all of this distraction, and it's on both sides, is not good for the country. And I'm not excusing his conduct. I've said all along it's an abuse of power what he did, but the reality is we're not getting things done we need to get done as a country.
But the reason we're not getting things done is because both parties are using this as an excuse to not get things done. There's a stack of bills in Mitch McConnell's office that he hasn't acted on, and there's stuff the Democrats have slow walked as well.
Well, if you look back to what Bill Clinton did when he was in the same hot box, he actually put it in a box and got a lot of things done, and when the day that he got impeached, he had a 56% approval rating. So I'd probably be smarter for Democrats to focus on that rather than answering to the, and they've got a problem with the far left part of the Democratic Party. It's demanding this. But to me, it's just, it's all bad news. If you go back in history, in 73, this is what was going on. And we ignored, Orrin was talking about this morning, we ignored trying to deal with inflation. When Clinton did it, the Al-Qaeda was being built up. And who knows what we're ignoring now, but it's just the whole thing is bad.
Pat Brady's here, Bridget Gaynor's here, and Andy Major's here for Dave Enit. As we continue, look, we swim in this pool. We talk about this stuff all the time. We think about this stuff all the time. Bridget, the Democrats, to me, have told a very done a very poor job of telling the story here, of explaining it, explaining why Ukraine's important, explaining why the call is a big deal, all of that. And now we're getting into the Christmas season where people are a little busy. So is this going to get just lost in the sauce here, and are the Democrats going to pay a political price for how they've handled it?
Look, it is really hard to execute when you're thinking about doing an impeachment in a national stage with a thousand people, all of whom want their 15 minutes of fame. And I think the personal behavior of some of the people leading it, okay, was it not as great? It wasn't. It wasn't necessarily country first. Having said that, as we were kind of chatting about, what the president did was wrong. If you don't have the hearing, the average person doesn't get exposed to enough information to understand what happened and why it was wrong and who else was involved. Because the bigger issue, it wasn't that he was on a phone call and he said some things. It was that there was a bunch of staff people involved and they lied about it later. So now the whole country knows that that happened. The hard part is you're going to go over to the Senate and they're going to say no. Sure. Also because they're thinking about themselves and their own political futures and not country first. And so you had, you know, ego-driven people on the Democratic side that made the argument more political than it needed to be. And then you have a political decision on the Republican side in the Senate because they're thinking about themselves. Having said that, you still have to go through the motions, even if you know it's not going to execute at the end. If you don't do that, the country doesn't understand. And the next person thinks, well, you know what? Maybe they'll just think it's too high of a price and I'll get away with it. You've got to raise the cost for doing some of that
stuff. Well, that's the question, Pat, because a corrupt Democrat ends up in the White House and suddenly the rules are completely different because of the era of Donald Trump. What about that argument?
I don't agree because it is ultimately a political process and a political decision. And I think you need, as a prosecutor does or the head of the Intel Committee does or Judiciary Committee does, you balance what's the good for the country. And like Bridget just said, this result is already set. He's not going to be removed from office no matter what happens from here on out. So why are we going through the process? These are going to be all this, these hearings and testimony, they're going to be a lot of good campaign commercials. And the president will pay a price at the polls, I think. But that's all you can do. So I just think the whole process is bad for the country.
Yeah, but you got to do it.
Why?
You can't just say, you can't make the unilateral decision to say, you know what?
It's not unilateral. You're an elected official. You're part of a committee. We've made a decision. This is not in the best interest of the country. That we're going to explain all this during the course of the campaign. And that's it. The impeachment process itself just is not good for the country.
Yeah, but okay, think about the most compelling testimony. Fiona Hill and the people that came in at the very end, they're never appearing in a campaign commercial. Those testimonies at the end, who was the other guy that testified just right before her?
Yeah,
they wouldn't know the name anyway, but you know what we're talking about. They're career diplomats.
They were credible people who have no interest in being on TV.
Right.
And at the end of the day, I think those final two or three people are where a lot of people watched and said, there's no reason they're making this up. And that is an important thing for people to see, because it's not Nancy Pelosi's job to say, I know there was a crime committed, but I don't want to pay a political price or I think it's going to be too hard.
It's not that. It's what's in the best interest of the country. And I agree. I watched all the testimony. It was compelling. It's clear what he did was abuse of his power. But there needs to be a decision made. what is in the best interest of the country. And this hearing is not in the best interest of the country.
You don't think it was the best interest of the country for Fiona Hill and those other people to say, this is what happened and this is why it is important?
And they can do that. And they can do that in the course of an intel hearing or even a Judiciary Committee hearing. But to institute proceedings to remove the President of the United States, which takes all the focus off anything else and onto this, is not in the best interest of the country.
Okay, but what part of the Constitution do you do pay attention to if you don't pay attention to this?
That's not the point. Well, of course, that's the point. No, there is a discretion that you have in these positions of whether or not to go forward. I'm not defending. He completely did it. It was a complete abuse of his power. But we're a year out from an election, so we're going to spend the next 6 months or 5 months dealing with this. We have other things that are more important than what the president did.
Well, I believe the Democrats have been run over by the Republican Party again and again and again. Mitch McConnell with Merrick Garland absolutely ignored the Constitution. So are the Democrats, if they didn't go through with this, just going to look like the lapdogs of the Republicans one more time? Because they already look pretty weak.
Well, the thing is, I don't think anybody at this point has paid a political price. Even with that compelling testimony, the numbers didn't change at all on who wants the president removed. It's pretty much the same. So the Democrats failed miserably in presenting their case.
But you don't
to
know.
Me, that's when you end it.
Yeah, but you don't know. Even if they say, I don't want impeachment, you don't know if there's not a political price to be paid, because that remains to be seen.
Right. But that's my point. Are we going to waste the next 5 months on a purely political process?
219 texter says, censure the doofus.
I agree, censure him. But the one thing I do agree with is the precedent it sets now going forward. And remember, Trump did all this stuff the day after the Mueller testimony, so he felt empowered to do this. Their precedent now will be set, if he's not removed, that it's okay for the president to use his position as commander-in-chief to benefit his personal political campaign.
Well, what about politicians ignoring subpoenas? What about making up rights that you don't have because you occasionally see the president and claiming that you have privilege? All of those things matter, too.
It's terrible, and that's why probably the second article of impeachment will be obstruction of justice. And I think the president's taking a very risky position not showing up to these hearings, because they may or may not like the proceedings, but I generally think people don't like disrespect for the institutions.
See, I think the apathy comes from the fact that it's a different standard in Washington, and that they get away with it and the rest of us can't.
I agree.
I mean, you were a lawyer forever. If somebody blew off a subpoena, what would happen to them?
They'd become talking to me in the grand jury. I'd send the police after them. But the point is, this is a political process. It's not a criminal process. And the Democrats have so ineptly handled it, they've not swayed public opinion. It's time to drop it and get over with and start focusing on things that the country really needs to have the attention paid to.
So how would you back out of it now?
Censure.
I think you need to proceed. You started. You need to run the play.
You got to finish it.
You got to run the play.
So we're into March.
And listen, then you know what? The Senate's going to go on record, and all those people are going to have to stand up, and they're going to have to vote on the record, and we're going to know where they stood. And that's where it's going to go.
Is there ever a point in any of this, and obviously we don't know everything, where Republicans that have stood behind Trump completely start to drift?
No, because their whole, remember, and we go, this is way into the weeds, but they're gerrymandered districts. Their districts love this stuff. There are certain parts of this country.
The Senate's not a gerrymandered.
No, but the people in the House that are making all the noise. But we're putting the Senate at risk because there's, what, 4 or 5 seats that Martha McSally, some of these other people are going to have to. They're going to have to really watch what they're doing in the course of this proceeding.
Yeah, they're going to have to stand up and be counted. And you know what? That's their job.
Well, none of them are going to vote for impeachment.
Everyone's going to have to go to the bathroom. They're like, I hear the ice cream truck. I'm out.
If you're President Trump at this point, wouldn't you strategically, if you're smart like some people think he is, demand your day in court? So, yeah, I want the Senate to do this.
Well, he did that a while ago.
Oh, a while ago.
Yeah, he was saying that.
So if it's over an hour ago, we need to check.
Well, I don't know. It changes daily, and I have. If you game it out, that we know what the result is. That's my point. We know what's going to happen.
I think the senators having to vote on the record and putting people on the record in the House, it's not without value, and you know they'll see.
The ones that are really
hurt. I think we need to move expeditiously.
Are moderate Democrats.
708, will there ever be an investigation into Hunter Biden and Joe Biden's roles in the Ukraine oil company? There was absolutely a full investigation that was done. And while Hunter Biden is an incredible problem to the Biden family and has been off the rails for years, there is nothing that was found to be illegal. It's a lot of bad optics. But it had nothing to do with the vice president and all of that has been said other than that. Has been frankly made up.
Well, I think this is where the Republicans made a mistake in the intel hearings. Call everybody. throw everybody on, you know, Hunter Biden, the Republicans want him in, throw him on, let him talk. And then the people, I think, more engaged and think it's a fair process. I think the president wrongly, but he won the argument that the process in the Intel Committee was not fair. I don't agree with it at all, but that's the public opinion was on his side on that, and he was very effective in that message.
Kamala Harris is out. We need another female in the race. Bridget, are you ready?
Well, you still have Amy Klobuchar and obviously Elizabeth Warren, who's doing really well in the polls, and so, you know, we'll see. Mike Bloomberg's in now and is upending things a little bit.
And big deal or little deal that she's out?
You know, I think it was interesting. I have a, you know, of my African-American women friends, the ones who are kind of more moderate were for her. The ones that are a little bit more progressive were not at all because of her background as a prosecutor and some of the stuff she said. So I think if you can't nail down kind of, you know, it's hard to figure out what her natural base was.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it changes the race at all. I think there's a couple other people that probably need to drop out, too. I was sad to see Bullock drop out. I mean, I know he was at 1%. He's the governor of Montana. I think he's fantastic and moderate.
I think they pull names out of a hat. We just pull them out of a hat right now, and that's it. And that's who has to run. Pat, thank you. Bridget, thank you.
Thank you.
Busy final hour of the program coming up. Dean's in L.A. We'll talk to Dean. Troy Murray will be here to talk about your Blackhawks. And we have another one of our Christmas choirs to sing before we're done at 9. And John Williams is here. All right, let's get to Dean here as we get underway. We only have a short period of time here because Dean's agent is about to pick him up. And Dean, yesterday I mentioned that Jill from Lindenhurst sent you and I moron tumblers.
Yeah,
so we want to thank Jill from Lindenhurst. So what are you doing in L.A.?
I am going to be interviewing the cast of this little movie, maybe you haven't heard of it, called Star Wars.
Oh, the indie.
The little indie film. I think it might even be in Pakistani. It might even be a foreign film. I'm not really sure.
No, nobody knows. It'll probably win some artsy-fartsy awards.
Yeah,
so who's there? The entire cast?
The entire cast is here, including many of the originals. I am super excited to be able to talk to the great Billy Dee Williams today, Lando Calrissian, from you know, a couple of the original movies. Very excited about that. You know, all these stories that have come out the last couple of days of how he considers himself gender fluid.
Yeah, at 82 years old.
Sometimes he refers to himself in the masculine. Sometimes he refers to himself in the feminine. So I don't know if I'll have time to talk about that. But I'm bringing in both chocolates and beef jerky. Just to
hey, speaking of old guys, Willie Nelson's not going to smoke pot anymore. What is that going to do to the pot industry?
That, I'm telling you, pot becoming illegal in Illinois can't come at a better time because this is going to cripple the cannabis industry with, you know, maybe the biggest advocate ever of smoking the devil's weed. Willie has had lots of health problems lately. In particular, problems, respiratory problems in breathing. And he himself said in an interview that I have abused my lungs through the years. And I think it's time at this ripe old age to stop smoking. So he's going to stop smoking everything right now.
And the National Board of Review has named their best movie of the year. What is it? And by that, I mean, what is the National Board of Review? Is that like is that a critics organization?
Yeah, it's critics and directors and you know, industry people. It's more a collection of industry people than it is critics, because honestly, who cares what critics have to say about anything anyway? But
I care deeply.
That's nice of you to say. So it's a pretty prestigious group, and they have chosen as their favorite movie of the year The Irishman. Have you watched it yet?
I can't get the time set aside. I've seen probably 30 minutes of it. I got interrupted. I saw another 15. I got interrupted. So I'd like to see it all the way through, but I'm getting there.
Yeah, it's a shame that most people are watching it this way, but you sort of have to because it's 3.5 hours long. It's on Netflix now. It was in theaters. Probably will be going back to theaters when it gets Oscar nominations, which it certainly will. This is the one with Robert De Niro and Al Pacino and Joe Pesci and Harvey Keitel and lots of other luminaries, directed by Martin Scorsese. It's a really good movie, but it is the length of this movie is killing it. People are, you know, saying that they tried to watch it. They can't. You know, some people are toughing it out and they block out a whole, you know, afternoon or a whole night to sit and watch it. But it's hard to sit through a 3.5 hour movie, even at home. But it's I loved it. I gave it an A, but it's actually I gave it an A minus. I took points off for the length on that. But the National Board of Review says it's the best. But I now have a new favorite movie of 2019. I think we talked about this movie called 1917. Did we talk about this?
Yeah, you brought it up. We didn't get into it.
It's the World War One. It's a World War One. It's like the Saving Private Ryan of World War One. Yep. It's an amazing movie. And at the moment, unless Carrot Top comes up with something new that I don't know about, it's probably going to be my favorite film of the year.
Funny, it's the second Carrot Top reference in the show today. And both of them strong. All right, I'm going to let you go do your thing, and we will reconnect with you on Monday when I'm back.
Okay, have fun.
Thank you, buddy. See ya. That's Dean Richards. And once more on Always More. Troy Murray is standing by, sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. We'll get to it in just a second. I should I tell people where I'm going to be the next 2 days?
It's a very personal thing.
But right. It's to be open and honest with the audience that has shown so much support for the show.
Okay. Well, then I think you should.
Well, I don't think I should.
You know, like I said, I don't think you should, because it's a real personal thing.
I'm getting a colonoscopy.
I thought you had that last week.
I've had three.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Since I was 50. I have this the hereditary blood clot condition. I didn't get three in a row.
No, I was going to say, every week, that's a little much.
One at 50, one at 55, and now I'm 58.
Oh, I'm
so
sorry.
The time span's getting different. I may have one every 6 weeks after this.
Man, I think that would kill you just having that often.
So that's why I'm going to be out tomorrow, and then Friday I'm just taking the extra day because I'm exploiting it.
I don't think the word exploiting should be connected to a colonoscopy.
Because when you said exploiting, I immediately heard exploding, and I'm like, wait.
You know what we might do? Maybe, you know, I don't know what the policy with Nexstar, the new company, is in regards to live broadcast, but, you know, a live broadcast from my colonoscopy might be a big hit. Bob Surratt live from the procedure room?
We would enjoy that.
What does it come to?
I think there'd be a lot of ambient noise in there.
I've done this for a long time. I didn't think I'd ever get to a point where I was discussing a colonoscopy on the air, and actually mine.
Yeah.
It's okay. We've all been there. But it's good to do them at the end of the week.
It is?
Very smart. Yeah, because then you can recover on the weekend.
Well, from what I remember, the recovery is no big deal. No. You're just kind of out of it for a few hours.
Yeah, and then you're really hungry.
Do you still have to drink all of that stuff before you do this, or is it?
They just use a little C4 now. No, you do. You have to drink. It's funny because I spoke to the doctor about it. I go, you know, I've spent three or four years now. I said, the prep's gotten better, right? He goes, not even close.
Oh, no. What flavor do you have? The lemonade?
Lemon lime.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Is that nasty?
Well, yeah, you just taste it you can't drink 7-Up after that, after a while.
Because it all tastes like 7-Up?
Yeah, it all just tastes, or Sprite, or... Ooh.
You know what I can have today, though? Because I can't eat today. But you know what I can have today?
No.
I'm excited about it. Orange popsicles.
You're excited about that?
Well, not eating anything else today. Yeah. Here's what I'm eating today. I'm having a couple of orange popsicles and some chicken broth. Hello.
Ooh, yeah.
How old are we?
Old Danger. Country buffet or what?
Danger, Will Robinson. Danger.
That's when I was in labor. I could only eat popsicles.
So anyway, I'm telling you this as the audience because I want you to know where I'm going to be the next couple of days in case someone needs to come find me. Troy Murray, how are you, buddy?
Well, I don't know.
Had to listen to all of that, didn't you?
I had to listen to all that.
You know, you and I are about the same age. You've had that done, I'm sure.
You know what? I'm embarrassed to say that I never had it.
Oh, dude, you gotta get it done.
I never had it until the whole Eddie Olchek.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
You know what? He made me decide that I've got to go have that colonoscopy, and I'm glad I did. There's a couple little things that are no big deals, but I did it because of Eddie. And, you know, this is what when Eddie wrote his book and everything, he said, you know, if I can help one person, if I can get one person, you know, to find out what's going on, to have a colonoscopy, to, you know, to have your checkups, then I've done my job. And, you know, he did it. I know Pat Foley was in the same boat, too, and he did it because of Eddie. So, you know, good for Eddie to, you know, put us in a position to do something like you did.
100%. 100%.
Yeah.
And honestly, with all seriousness, that's why I bring it up. I bring it up because everybody should do it. And if you're 50 or over, you absolutely should do it. So please take care of yourself because you got people in your life that need you. Tri-Murray again, sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. All right, so which Blackhawk team do we have? Do we have the team that snapped off 4 or 5, looked great, or do we have the team that in the last 3 games looked awful?
I think there's a happy medium in between there. They really looked like they were on the right track when they had a couple games against Dallas, who at that point was the hottest team in the NHL. You knew you had 5 big games up against Central Division team, so basically all 4-pointers. So you're really excited after what happened against Dallas, and then over the weekend and against St. Louis on Monday night, things certainly went south. And you know, and now everybody's asking this exact question: which team is the real team? And I think that there's you've got to find the medium of where it is. And you ask Brent Seabrook, and he said we weren't near good enough in the last 3 games, and that was obvious because you really got destroyed by some two good teams. So you got to regroup. You can't put your head down. It's not getting any easier. But you know, when the offense was clicking, it seems like everything is good. When the offense gets a little bit quiet, then you put a lot of pressure on their goaltenders to get the job done, and they've been great all season long, and really not their fault over this last 3-game stretch. They need more help in front of the net.
Troy, a guy like Alex DeBrincat right now is going through a thing that I think a lot of hockey players go through, and it's a goal drought, and he's been close so many times, hitting so many posts, but he's a young guy. You don't worry about his confidence, though, do you?
Well, I think, you know, he himself got into a fight with a guy named Sam Girard in Colorado on Saturday, and he said it was out of frustration. So, you know, when you're getting frustrated, then obviously your confidence level does go down, and he admitted it. And I think in his first year, his rookie season, he went 13 games without a goal at one point. Right now, after scoring 41 goals last year, he's at 12 games without a goal. He's hit a couple posts. He's had some real good opportunities. If you look at a shooting percentage number for Alex DeBrincat last year, at the end of the season, he was just under 19, which is, you know, it's a pretty good shooting percentage over the course of an entire season. That's why he got 41 goals this year.
Right.
He's at about 6.5. Mm. So, you know, you got to find a happy medium between the 6.5, which is extremely low for a shooter like Alex, and 19, which was, you know, probably above expectations. So I think that, you know, as soon as he kind of scores one goal or gets an opportunity and buries it, that he'll get that confidence back, because he is a pure shooter, and watch him in practice. And I think that right now he's just fighting his confidence a little bit. But as any goal scorer would tell you, that when you're not scoring goals, and that's what you're supposed to do, you get a little bit tight, and then, you know, you just kind of got to relax your mind, forget about it, clean out the kitchen, and get back to work.
Do you ever have a stretch like that where you hit 12 posts and nothing went in?
Well, I had a lot of stretches where I didn't score in 12 games, and I didn't worry about it until it reached about 20.
And you said, wait, I'll leave you with this. We're a third of the way through the season, and you know the old Yogi Berra thing, it's getting late early. This is a part of the season where if you're struggling, and clearly the Hawks are, you got to get it turned around in the next month, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at Jeremy Colliton in his comments the last couple of days, he says, you know, we have the ability to go on a good run here, but we got to do it right now. And that's the truth. You know, this was a really tough weekend as far as where you wanted to be in the standings and where you are. 1 game over 500, and everything was looking good. Now, all of a sudden, losing 3 in a row, you're 2 games under the 500 mark, and you look at the end of the season, where you probably have to be points-wise to be in the hunt for a playoff spot. You got to be in that mid-90s, so if you just do the math, you know, 30, 37 and 20, kind of going down the stretch here. Right. Well, those are some pretty lofty numbers that you're looking at, where you have to have some separation to be about 15 games, 13 games over 500 at the end of the year. So, you know, now's the time. You can't look past, you know, these next few games. I know it's tough. Boston hasn't lost in regulation at home this season, but you got to go in there and get the job done. I mean, somebody's going to beat them there. Why not be the Blackhawks and get on a good roll here?
Let's get it back. Get it back,
and,
fellas.
And I got to tell you this. It's the mother's trip coming up.
Oh, good. Good, good, good.
So that's an additive incentive for the players to do well. They'll be joining the team to Boston and New Jersey. So it's a real great gesture by the Blackhawks organization. They're one of the few teams that actually has the mother's trip. They alternate. Tampa was in town not too long ago, and they had the fathers. And sure. I asked them, you know, do they do a mother's? And they said, no, we don't do a mother's. So equal opportunity for, you know, the parents who raise their kids to come on a trip and kind of see what it's like. And I know that the players certainly enjoy having their mothers around. So it's a great opportunity to show their mothers that they can go into Boston and win a big game.
Get it done. I like that. All right, buddy. Thank you.
You bet. Always a pleasure, guys. Love you.
Love you back. Troy Murray, sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. We have a number of great choirs and that come in all the time. For the holidays I'm talking about. And one of our favorites is here today, the Woodstock High School Madrigal Singers, led by the director of choral activities, Brian, help me out, Joswiak?
You're right on.
How are you, man?
I'm great. How are you?
Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and all the good things.
Same to you.
All right, so tell me about the kids.
This is a group of 21 students from Woodstock High School in Woodstock, Illinois, and this is an auditioned group. We sing madrigals from the Renaissance time period. We also sing Christmas carols and other holiday tunes, and though you don't see them wearing their Renaissance attire, they wear some pretty fancy outfits. Men wear tights. And
like the ones I'm wearing today?
Yeah. Okay. That's what I hear.
Okay, all right. And what is a madrigal?
Good question. It's a song from the Renaissance time period. Basically, madrigals were like the pop songs of the 1600s. Catchy and funny oftentimes, sometimes serious, but we're actually not going to sing any of those today, but we will sing some holiday tunes, but they are the madrigal singers because of those Renaissance
tunes. So like the Billie Eilish of the 16th century, that kind of thing?
Truly, yes.
All right, I'm looking forward to this because I look forward to seeing you guys and hearing you guys every year. Live from the Performance Studio at 720 WGN, you'll enjoy this. Here are the Woodstock High School Madrigal Singers.
God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, oh, tidings of comfort and joy. From God our Heavenly Father a blessed angel came, and unto certain shepherds brought tidings of the same. How Bethlehem was born the Son of God by name. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Now to the Lord sing praises, all you within this place, and with true love and brotherhood each other now embrace. This holy tide of Christmas all others doth deface. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
A standing ovation from a sitting position. Andy, if you'd join me.
That was awesome.
If the headphone cord were longer, we could actually stand, but it's a rare sitting ovation. Brian, I tell you this every year, but I'm just blown away by how great you guys are. It's really impressive. So hang out. We're going to do a little more. And by the Andy, when I say we, I mean them.
Them, of course.
Yes, of course. Because we want it to be entertaining. The Woodstock High School Madrigal Singers are here. A couple of texters, 224. It's the most beautiful music ever. I wait every year to hear the Woodstock High School folks on WGN. And another texter says, I look forward to this group again and again and again. Do you guys perform, Brian, publicly anywhere?
No, we just perform for ourselves privately.
All right, Brian, go to your room.
No, we do. We are preparing in a variety of gigs, but the major one that we are working towards is the Magical Dinner. There are two dinners, Friday, December 20th, and Saturday, December 21st at the Bull Valley Golf Club.
Okay, so this is not just for the school. The public can come out.
Correct. Anybody can come, and tickets will include the students singing 28 songs, which is...
Yeah, we're doing 28 here today as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're planning on it. And then there are jesters that tell jokes, and there are recorder, brass, and saxophone ensembles, and then also dinner is included, dinner, dessert. It's a nice event, and you can buy tickets at our Facebook page, which is Woodstock High School Choirs, or on our school website, Woodstock High School. And the public is welcome. It's really a nice event, right up against the holidays.
And all the money goes to your vacation fund, Brian, when you're trying to get to the Bahamas?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay. No, it goes to support the kids, right?
That's right.
In the program. How many kids are in the program?
Total, 88 right now at Woodstock High School, and this is about a quarter, or less than a quarter of the total
but
program.
But these are the all-stars. These are the ones you asked to do this.
Don't tell them that, but that's true.
Well, why don't we cut to the chase? Who's your favorite of the kids you have here today?
Well, I have to do another shout out here. I had a student last year that was quite sick, and I did a shout out twice for him, and he's here today. And Chris Crenshaw's here, and he's one of three of our students that's going to state for choir, along with Kaylee Beckman and Tom Spookus.
Well, how about a hand for those three?
Yeah,
that's great. That's great stuff. All right, so what's the next thing you're going to sing?
We're going to sing a tune called Coventry Carol, and it's a slower tune, very beautiful jazzy harmonies, and we hope you enjoy it.
That's Brian Joswiak, Director of Choral Activities at Woodstock, Woodstock High School Magical Singers on 720 WGN. Like Brian punishes the kids if they miss a note or something, because there's a tremendous amount of discipline.
Yeah,
they're flawless.
It works.
Yeah. It's Brian Joswiak, and I went in during the last break, and I memorized the names of all the kids that are here today. There's Preston and Kaylee and Lucas and Kyla and Hallie and Christopher and Evan and Eva and Lexi and Andrew and Aiden. There's Jalen and Larry and Lacey and Ricardo. There's Jermaine and Stephanie and Thomas and Madeline and Haley. And who could forget Brianna? Not me. Did I miss anybody? I don't think I did.
What a memory.
Yeah, it's really quite impressive. Brian, I know I asked you this last year, but how long have you been doing this?
Well, this is my third year at Woodstock High School, and I'm sticking around, I guess.
I would hope. Seems to be working out. Can you do one more for us? We only have a couple minutes here, maybe two and a half, but if you can give me a couple of minutes of something, the audience would love you for it.
Oh, yeah, we got a quick one.
All right, when you're ready.
Christmas is coming, the geese are getting fat. Please do put a penny in the old man's hat. Christmas is coming, the geese are getting fat. Please do put a penny in the old man's hat. If you haven't got a penny, a halfpenny will do. A halfpenny will do. A halfpenny will do.
But a penny's better. A penny or two are better.
Two or three. Christmas is coming, the geese are getting fat. Please do put a penny in the old man's hat. If you haven't got a penny, a hay penny will do. If you haven't got a hay penny, a farthing will do. If you haven't got a farthing, God bless you. God bless the master of this house, likewise the mistress too. Children that round the table, love and joy come to you, and to you your wassail too. And we wish you a happy new year, and we wish you a happy new year. Love and joy come to you, and to you your wassail too. And we wish you a happy new year, and we wish you a happy new year.
I could not be more impressed. Just blew it out of the park again. And that's a technical, magical term.
Yes.
So, Brian, congratulations and to everybody there. It's just an amazing group you have. Congratulations and thank you to all the fine folks at Woodstock. And thanks to all your parents. And making this trek down this morning. Really, really nice. Thank you guys very much. The Facebook page again is where?
Woodstock High School Choirs. Instagram, Woodstock High School Choir. There's a slight difference.
All right. Well, go support these guys. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Hi, John Williams.
Hi, Steve Cochran.
How are you today?
Do you know how to pronounce good? Thanks to that bar that Eddie Johnson was at. C-E-R-E-S.
I do not.
Cirrus?
I've heard Cirrus mostly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why, are you thinking about going there with a woman that's not your wife, as it's been reported?
Stop saying that.
It's just such odd reporting.
I wonder if they should name a drink after him there.
A woman that's not your wife?
I have an Eddie Johnson.
The cocktail?
Or, yeah, a woman that's not my wife, yeah.
So, what are you doing today?
I'm going to talk about that for 3 hours.
Okay, well, good. That'll be 9 to noon. And if something else comes up, like, say, that little impeachment thing, maybe that'll come up.
By the way, the News Click asks if the mayor did the right thing in letting him go. What do you think the numbers on that are going to be?
You know, I'm thinking out
60,
of the gate.
40, 50,
yeah,
50.
It's going to be close. I really
We
do.
Will reveal the results after the news.
And that starts now. See you tomorrow. Monday.